Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I will be discussing today is the power of human touch. In today's age of high-tech communication, there is a major missing factor. Human touch. Nature has designed us to connect with people on a physical level. Our need to touch and be touched is essential, as necessary to human survival as the need for food and shelter. This subtle wordless form of communication is the first language we learn. Momentary touches, such as an arm around someone's shoulder, a pat on the back, touching someone's arm, or a high five, can communicate emotions clearly and rapidly. They can be more effective than words or any of our other senses. Touch is fundamental to human bonding, emotional development and well-being, and physical health. Touch impacts every aspect of our being. Kind and appropriate touching can convey feelings of encouragement, safety, trust, comfort, and support, and sentiments like affection, gratitude, and compassion. Inappropriate touching can be a turnoff that drives us to distance ourselves from someone's reach. It can give us the creeps, make our skin crawl. Children who are inappropriately or sexually touched may suffer long-term mental health issues that will follow them into adulthood. The average human adult has about 20 square feet, or 2 square meters, of skin containing tens of thousands of nerve endings and sensory receptors. It is our body's largest organ. Our skin tells us what is going on around us as well as what is happening inside our bodies. When the sensory receptors in your skin are stimulated, the feel-good hormones, oxytocin and dopamine, and the pain-relieving hormone, serotonin, are released. The stress hormone, cortisol, is decreased. There are physiological reasons for the comfort and relaxation you get from a simple hug. A hug stimulates sensory nerve fibers in your skin that send a signal to the vagus nerve in your brain. This nerve tells your body to slow down your heart rate, reduce your blood pressure, and calm you down. The human brain will not develop properly if it is not stimulated by human touch in the formative years. The skin and nervous system begin forming in the first few days of an embryo's life. They develop together as the fetus matures and continue that development throughout the year after birth. The benefits of touch begin the moment we are born. We first become acquainted with the world through the skin-to-skin contact we have with our mothers. A newborn needs the stimulation of touch to build neural connections between their skin and their brain. Holding and cuddling a baby and breastfeeding, if possible, are crucial to their development. The messages a baby receives through touch are extremely important to their future well-being. Study after study has confirmed this. Through her research, Tiffany Field, an expert in the science of touch, found that preemies who received 3 15-minute sessions of touch therapy each day for 5 to 10 days gained 47% more weight than preemies who did not receive the therapy. Infants who have been given proper nutrition but who are deprived of touch will fail to thrive. Before the awareness of the vital relationship between touch and development, babies raised in orphanages who were not held rarely lived past the age of 2. Those who survived were often mentally handicapped, social misfits, or stunted in their growth. The touch an infant receives from their caregivers teaches them how to explore the world around them and define their relationship to it. As children grow up, they continue their need to touch and be touched. Young children rush to the sides of their parents when they come home, wanting a hug and a kiss or wanting to be held. Children love to crawl into their parents' laps and hold their hands. The physical contact makes them feel secure, loved, and cared for. A parent's touch can magically take away a child's fears and worries. And there are actual emotional and physical healing benefits to rubbing or kissing a child's boo-boo beyond the placebo effect. Touch deprivation in childhood may lead to early promiscuous behavior, aggressiveness, and the inappropriate touching of others. One study showed that children with a history of aggressive behavior who received a 20-minute massage twice a week for 5 weeks were less anxious and showed less aggression than kids who did not. Other studies show that massage helps kids with ADHD concentrate better, and certain forms of touch help autistic kids relate better to those who are close to them. In our litigious society, teachers are forbidden to touch their students. But one study found that students who were supportively touched on their arm or their back by their teacher were almost twice as likely to volunteer in class as those who did not. Another study found that children are more likely to enjoy the library and more likely to come back if the librarian touched their hand when they checked the book out. Children who have limited contact or are cut off too early from physical contact, like cuddling and hugging with their parents, will find it difficult to make that kind of connection when they become adults. And children who associate touching with painful memories will grow up withdrawing from the physical contact of others for fear of reliving those memories. Nothing in my life has ever given me as much satisfaction as motherhood has. My son and daughter, 6.5 years apart, were affectionate children, and I loved every minute of it. My daughter, who is my older child, never went through a stage where she physically pulled away from me, but the physical contact between us appropriately lessened as she matured. At 8 years old, my son went from being attached to my hip to not letting me hug or kiss him. I recognized his behavior as healthy and never pressured him, but inside I was going through withdrawal. I didn't want to have more than 2 children, and my husband and I, who both grew up with dogs, had made a joint decision not to have a furry pet of any sort. But I wanted something I could hold baby and love. So one day, I was in a pet store looking around, and I asked one of the guys if there was such a, if there was such a thing as an affectionate frog or lizard. It sounds like a really weird question, but I love creatures of all sorts. So he showed me a baby leopard gecko. He let me hold it and told me all about it. Just like that, I bought the lizard, and I bought everything that went along with it, brought it home, and surprised my family. Long story short, everyone loved it too, and we went back and got another one. At one point in time, I had four leopard geckos that I had raised since birth. Then we added two baby bearded dragons to our family. Most people don't know this, but these two particular lizard species are very docile and affectionate. And bearded dragons are very smart. My bearded dragon knows probably 20 words. They love to be held, love to be petted, and love baby talk. Over the years, four of my animals have died. I still have one gecko that is 12 years old and one bearded dragon that is 9. And they are tremendous sources of comfort, joy, and affection, just as a cat or dog would be for other people. Many studies have been done on the health benefits of pet ownership. Petting or cuddling an animal can lower your blood pressure, reduce anxiety, and help with depression. Petting causes endorphins, chemicals in the body that suppress pain, to be released, and levels of oxytocin have been shown to rise in both the animal and the owner within 3 minutes of the physical contact. It has been shown that physical contact with a pet can actually improve the survival rates of heart attack victims. And hospice patients who, like animals, find great comfort in petting them. Without being aware, we have all sent healing to animals and other people through our touch. Every human being has the ability to transmit healing energies to others through their hands. The effectiveness of the healing depends on the capacity of one's body to contain and channel it. But healing energy techniques can be taught to anyone who is interested in learning. We're at that point where we're about halfway finished through the show, So I'm going to take a brief 1 minute intermission. I will return after the musical interlude, so stay tuned. I'll be right back. Today's discussion, the power of human touch. For thousands of years, China has used acupressure, a technique based on the principles of acupuncture, to promote wellness and treat disease. The theory is that our bodies have 12 major meridians that connect specific organs or networks of organs. This network organizes communication throughout the body. When one of these meridians is blocked or out of balance, dis-ease can occur. by touching points along particular energy meridians with gentle pressure, these blockages are opened up and the body is restored to health and balance. I have relied on Chinese medicine to keep my body in balance for 21 years. In my opinion, there is not a holistic or traditional medical therapy out there that is better. The Japanese use a form of touch therapy that is based on traditional Chinese medicine and is similar to acupressure and acupuncture called shiatsu. It also uses pressure points along meridians to balance out the flow of energy. Another Japanese touch therapy technique and form of spiritual healing is called Reiki. Reiki is based on the idea that we have a spiritually guided life force energy coursing through our bodies that gives us life. Reiki, administered by laying on of the hands, treats the whole body, the whole person, their mind, their spirit, and their emotion. It reduces stress, relaxes the body, and promotes feeling of peace and well-being. Reiki is also effective when used in conjunction with traditional medical therapies, as it can relieve side effects and help the body to recover. It has been found that when practitioners use a technique called therapeutic touch, a modern-day interpretation of several ancient healing practices, they are able to relieve pain. Therapeutic touch is a process of moving hands above the surface of the body, barely touching the skin, and exchanging energy. Another touch therapy that we are all familiar with is massage. Massage therapy is known to be effective in relieving pain and relaxing muscles, but it is just as effective in reducing stress and promoting the well-being of our bodies and minds. After a massage, levels of endorphins increase, creating an overall feeling of wellness and a minimized perception of pain. The stress hormone cortisol drops, and there is a reduction in the hypothalamic area of the brain, which controls our fight and flight response. Regular massage helps us to improve the circulatory, lymphatic, immune, and nervous systems. It improves mental focus and alertness, promotes relaxation, and eases depression. A 2001 study showed that when mothers massaged their babies for 15 minutes before bedtime, the babies fell asleep more quickly and were more alert during their waking hours. Other studies have shown that massage and other touch therapies can positively impact kids with autism and ADHD. Study after study has shown that touch is beneficial in treating disease, relieving pain, and emotional and physical development. Researchers at Berkeley's School of Public Health have found that doctors who make eye contact with and pat the back of patients with complex diseases can boost their survival rates. Benefits of touch have been shown in patients with asthma, Alzheimer's disease, pregnant women, and even women with fibroid tumors. A 1998 study was conducted by researchers at the University of Wisconsin to determine the effect of touch on the improvement of the function of elders who have degenerative arthritis. They discovered that touch improved their patients' pain, tension, mood, satisfaction, and function ability of their hands. Unlike sight, hearing, taste, and smell, touch does not lose its potency as we grow older. In fact, the need to touch and be touched increases with age. We often see elderly people patting each other's hands. The elderly need touch as much as infants do. Many elderly people are lonely and depressed after having lost spouses and friends. In addition to feeling isolated, lacking social interaction, and losing their independence, they miss the connection of human touch. Studies show that elders who receive regular massages have better physical coordination, less depression, less anxiety, and a reduction of stress. Nursing homes are now integrating geriatric massage into their patient care. It's interesting to note the relationship between touch and athletic success. A recent study published in the journal Emotion found that NBA basketball teams whose players touched each other more won more games. Two social psychologists from the University of California, Berkeley, both avid basketball players themselves, analyzed 90 hours of televised professional play. They watched every team and every player, recording 15 kinds of touch, including high fives, hugs, pats, and shoulder tapping. The most touch-bonded teams were the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. The least were the Sacramento Kings and the Charlotte Bobcats. The touchiest player was the Celtics star Kevin Garnett, who within 600 milliseconds of shooting a free throw reached out and touched four guys. Basketball players are among many athletes who spread goodwill and instill trust through physical touch. Baseball players and football players frequently pat each other's backs and butts, give each other high fives, slap each other's hands, and hug each other. Athletes in all sports show good sportsmanship by shaking the hands of their opponents. Touching is an integral part of intimacy and loving. Sexual touching is very important to intimate relationships, especially in the beginning. Non-sexual touching is just as, if not more important, to long-term loving relationships. Two individuals connect through the demonstrative acts of kissing, hugging, spooning, snuggling, and holding hands. Physical closeness among couples communicates affection, care, and love, and stimulates the growth of the relationship. The Touch Research Institute, set up by the University of Miami School of Medicine in 1992, has done worldwide studies of touching among cultures. They established that there are two types of cultures, high touch and low touch. France, southern European countries like Italy and Greece, countries in the Middle East like Israel, Morocco, and Turkey, and Hispanic countries like Mexico, Puerto Rico, and Colombia are high touch cultures. New Zealand, Australia, Asian countries like Japan, China, and Korea, Northern European countries like Sweden and the United Kingdom, and the United States are low-touch cultures. A culture's level of touch is evident in the way the people greet each other. For instance, in Argentina, people hug, kiss, and hold hands all the time, whether they are friends, family, or new acquaintances, and whether they are of the same sex or the opposite sex. The honi is a Polynesian greeting in which two people press their noses together and inhale at the same time. This is a spiritual exchange of the breath of life. In India, close friends hug, whether same sex or opposite sex. Grandparents are not hugged people greet them by touching their feet and then receiving blessings. Kissing anyone in public, except for babies, is taboo. Some tribes in South America greet a visitor by painting their body and putting feathers on them. Americans often greet with a handshake. The feel of the handshake, whether firm and warm or limp and cold, tells much about the encounter. Hugging, kissing, and hand-holding between members of the opposite sex are acceptable, but considered homosexual gestures if done by the same sex. And it is proper for Americans to apologize if they touch someone by accident. Younger Americans are breaking down those barriers. Adolescents now more than ever feel comfortable hugging and holding hands with each other in public. Maybe they are making up for lack of physical contact that their overuse of texting and internet social networking deprives them of. Depending on the situation, touch can have very different meanings. A light touch on the upper arm is usually the safest place to touch someone you don't know. A handshake is usually appropriate in any given situation. Of course, there is always a small population of people who, for whatever reason, don't like to be touched in social situations at all. Sometimes the fear of touching or being touched can be rooted in a phobia. There are 7 technical names for this disorder. Aphophobia, haphophobia, and thixophobia, to name a few. Those that suffer from these phobias have an acute exaggeration of the normal tendencies one has to protect their personal space. It is expressed as either a fear of contamination or fear of the invasion, and it even includes people they know well. Sometimes they specifically fear being touched by anyone of the opposite sex. In women, this phobia is based on the fear of being sexually assaulted. Many boys who are sexual abuse victims have a fear of being touched. Some who have this phobia describe the feeling of touch as burning like fire. This is unfortunate because no other form of communication is as universally understood as touch. Whether sighted or blind, hearing or deaf, male or female, touch defines our world. We are never too young or too old to be touched. Through touch, we express affection, appreciation, compassion, and support to others. Through touch, we build interpersonal bonds. No other sense is as vital to our physiological health as touch is. We need touch as much as we need food and water. A compassionate touch of our hand or a reassuring hug can take away fears, soothe anxieties, and fill the emptiness of being lonely. Hug your family, hug your children, hug your friends, and hug your pets. There is no better way to give love to others and receive it at the same time. Volunteer to help with animals, children, the elderly, the sick, and the dying. Your touch can make all the difference in their world. We're out of time. I hope you found meaning in this show that you can apply to your own life. Please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, February 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, The Art of Saying No, Breaking the Habit of Saying Yes. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website,